Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From The Athletic and soon to be The New York Times Company, my colleague, Sam Amick. Sam, does it make you feel hoity or toity or both to be referred to as a future New York Times employee? Feel bougie at all?
Hoity and toity. You guys got me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, we got you.
Gotcha. Yeah, hoity and toity, I'm going to say both. I can't put anybody's business out in the streets, but I had a colleague a long time ago who got frustrated, a member of the New York Times, and in a heated moment, they once kind of pounded the table and said, "I'm the effing New York Times." And I think I might start dropping that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. I think it fits. Sam, thanks for joining us. Obviously, we're going to talk Cavs and NBA. Kobe Altman gets the extension, gets the title promotion to president. Just your thoughts on where the Cavs are going and just the fact that there may be stability with this organization for the first time in a long time.
No, I mean, as you know better than anybody, Jason, you know, a bit of a roller coaster ride and the lean period post-LeBron where, I mean, listen, when we last left Cleveland from a national perspective, covering the final, you know, Cavs-Warriors finals run, you kind of felt like the relevancy was potentially going to be a long, long ways off, of course, if LeBron left town. So he does, and I got to give Kobe and that group credit. They drafted well. They've got some pieces in place, obviously, with Sexton's injury. That's a tough setback, but they got something going. They were in town in my neck of the woods in Northern California last week, so I got eyes on them against the Warriors and then the Kings. So, you know, I mean, Mobley's incredible and the guy that you build around and try to see if you can't, you know, just keep chipping away at this thing.
Sam, not only do they give him an extension, but they give him a change in title. What do you make of that?
I feel like it's a fairly natural progression. And I mean, the title game in the NBA is always interesting to me. There's no uniformity. I don't mean to get far afield and not answer the question, but it's like, you know, you have some markets, some teams where GM is a more powerful, prestigious position than it is at others, where you might have somebody above you with a VP of basketball ops type title. But it's obviously an endorsement. And, you know, and again, I mean, you know, Kobe's had times where I think there was understandable scrutiny around him and folks who wondered if he was going to have a long runway for the job. So, you know, he figured some things out.
Sam, is this the team the biggest surprise in the NBA? They are to me, but is there a team I'm overlooking?
I mean, if you want to talk about variance of expectation versus result, then maybe. I think Memphis would be up there. And that's kind of a thing right now in the moment. They've won 9 in a row. They look like they actually are like a top 4 team in the West. It's not just, you know, Golden State, you know, Utah, Phoenix, and everybody else. So Memphis comes to mind. Chicago, if you want to look at the East, it's just a matter of the Bulls being more elite than people thought they would be. People thought they would win some games, but it's a little bit Grizzlies-esque just on the other side of the league where people didn't think that they'd be able to be hanging with the Bucks and the Nets and teams like that. But the Cavs are right there. I think J.B. Bickerstaff should certainly be on the short list of the Coach of the Year conversation. And they've just been a huge stunner for sure.
Sam Amick from The Athletic joining us. Sam and August, of course, appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline Sam, you mentioned Evan Mobley. I said when we opened the show, he sort of changed the entire trajectory of this whole thing, of this entire operation, and he's really sort of the glue that has pulled all these other pieces together, like Garland and Jared Allen, and made everything fit. Is he the front runner right now for Rookie of the Year? Scotty Barnes off to a good start. Franz Wagner. I know there's other guys in the conversation, but as we're at the halfway point here, where do you think Evan ranks in Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, to me, he'd be the guy. And as you guys know, too, some of the kind of, you know, one of the problems with the awards voting in general, if we're being honest, and this extends beyond Rookie of the Year, is that recency bias, it's funny, like, comes into play with everything else except for awards. I feel like the awards unofficially get decided, you know, in the first half of the year a lot of times. And we don't necessarily, and especially with Rookie of the Year, where you kind of get a thought cemented, and then unless somebody just absolutely turns it on at the tail end, then that doesn't change. So I think Mobley's a guy. You know, I mean, Cade Cunningham's done some really nice things lately. The other night had 29 and is figuring things out. But the thing with Mobley, if you just talk about the combination of the counting stats and production with, you know, the narrative, which always matters, is, you know, kind of helping the Cavs have something to get excited about post-LeBron is a hell of a narrative. But also being the kind of two-way player that you just never see out of a rookie. And I mean never. You know, I mean, that's the thing that jumps out at me is that usually – I mean, some of the best defenders in this league didn't start making an impact until year three, year four, because it takes a while, especially for wing players, but, you know, to figure out that end. So I think what he's bringing, you know, narrative-wise, production-wise, he's the guy. But, you know, we still got a ways to go.
Who's the comp for you, Sam, for Evan Mobley? Is it like a Chris Bosh type? Is it somebody else that you can think of?
Bosh is not a bad one. I mean, that's a high ceiling, obviously, because Chris remains just one of the more, you know, underappreciated guys in the history of the game, I think. I mean, you know, it's KG components in there.
Yeah, that's high praise.
You know what I mean? You know, and trying to think who else. I mean, he's it's just, I don't know how to describe it. The instincts, the aggressiveness, that's what I love. I mean, the aggressiveness makes you think of KG a little bit. He's not out there barking at guys like Kevin did from the jump, but he, you know, he is out there, you know, kind of shaming guys, embarrassing guys that are 10 years his senior because he's, you know, he's just come right out of the gates playing at a high level. So, yeah, man, his ceiling is huge, and it'll be exciting to see what he does.
Sam, whether it's because they love him or they hate him, it just feels like everyone still has one eye on what's going on with LeBron and the Lakers. So I'll ask you, what is going on with LeBron and the Lakers?
I don't know. I want to start with, I mean, you know, which camp are you in these days, Jay?
Love him or hate him?
Yes.
Oh, I always have it. I mean, I wouldn't be in this chair if it wasn't for LeBron. Like,
Yeah.
No, I have no issue with anything, with how he came, left, none of that. I saw it coming before his last year he was here. So no, I don't have ill will toward him at all.
I mean, you guys can relate to this a little bit. The part I love, and I, you know, that I say kind of lightheartedly, but it's true, is like, I'm 44 at this point. So I'm here for a 37-year-old doing the kind of stuff that he's doing on the floor. It makes me feel young again to see him, you know, not only playing well for a guy who's 37, but, you know, just playing well no matter what the age is. So I think he's not going to win the MVP award. I'd be stunned if he did. But I think he has played himself back into the conversation. And as is often the case with LeBron, again, like you put it well, love him or hate him, in terms of the totality of a team's season and the question of are they, you know, maximizing what they have, he is almost never the problem. You know what I mean? Like, it's like that's – And that's bearing out again. You look at these Lakers, and certainly maybe the first month or so, you could say that his defensive focus wasn't what it was last season. And maybe you can quibble here and there. But, you know, the problem has been AD, when he's been on the floor, has not been the guy that he was in the bubble and the championship run. And then, of course, he gets hurt. The Russell Westbrook fit has been extremely problematic. The roster construction has been very confusing. I don't have a ton to criticize on the coaching front, even though, you know, Frank Vogel has had some kind of warmth underneath his seat at times this season. But LeBron is balling out and doing his thing. And now you got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar tweeting about the possibility of him, of LeBron potentially, you know, taking the all-time scoring record away from him, which is something we obviously never thought we would see. So incredible individual play, but they got a long ways to go to be the kind of title contender they were hoping to be.
Sam, the Warriors, they get Klay Thompson back. He comes back against the Cavaliers last Sunday. Obviously, they beat the Cavs, but they fall last night to the Grizzlies in a fun game. It was back and forth. They come down from 18 points. And Klay, not playing a ton of minutes right now, but still, between the Suns and the Warriors, who do you make the favorite in the West?
I mean, it's kind of a pick 'em to me. I love both squads. They're deep. You know, they have some kind of connectivity there as far as just themes and threads that make them both really good teams. You've got a combination of star power and depth and new role players emerging. The thing with the Warriors that I think is going to make them must-see TV even more so on the back end of the season is that the Klay Thompson integration is going to be, I think, a little bit messy, and only messy because Klay is going to become, he's already, you know, super competitive and impatient. You know, I don't know if you guys watched that Memphis game last night, but he hit a big-time three at the end of the first half to cut the Warriors' deficit. Then, coming out of the break, does some good things at the beginning of the third quarter and kind of showed you, like, oh, man, that's right, game-changer, impact player, Klay's back. But then he gets yanked because they're playing him around 20 minutes a game. And, you know, we'll see if this turns out to be the case. But, you know, I wrote about it the other day that you know, his people are saying that the plan is that he won't be at full playing time until fairly close to the playoffs. I just have a hard time seeing them holding him back that long. So, you know, that element is going to be interesting. Overall, I'd probably take the Warriors because while the Suns were fantastic last year, they still, you know, they didn't win the title. They don't have championship culture just yet. We know Chris Paul's history. When the lights are the brightest, he's done some amazing things. He's had some tough moments. The Warriors still have that thing with Steph and Draymond and Klay there where they get up in the morning and they see a champion in the mirror.
Sam Amick is our guest. And Sam, during the break, our producer Keith Britton came in and said something kind of funny and kind of actually true. We're talking about the NBA standings. He said, if I'm Brooklyn, I want to be the road team in a series for Kyrie.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really strange spot to be in. They're the two seed. Odds are they're not going to fall that far, although the teams are pretty bunched pretty tightly at the top. Is Brooklyn better off throwing some games and being a road team and not having home court advantage just to get the extra game with Kyrie? And just what do you think of that whole situation?
I mean, it sounds so wrong. You know what I mean? That you shouldn't ever be doing something like that. But like, this is the year where, I mean, teams are just trying to make it through. So
you know, teams tank all the time at the bottom. So
right. You know, teams tank at the bottom. I mean, the idea that Kyrie would not be available for a game seven if they were a top 14.
It's crazy.
You know, in the first round anyway, it is crazy. You know, although as an aside, I don't think this will happen. I saw today, Stephen Bondi from the New York Daily News had reported that the Nets could play Kyrie at home if they were willing to just take a fine from the city. But I don't think the NBA would go for that. So, yeah, it is. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't love it. You know, I mean, even independent of the vaccine conversation, you know, I don't love it from a team standpoint. I don't love it from a optics of, you know, like the Nets took a hard stance right out the gate and basically said, you know, it's kind of like you're either with us or you're not. And then they obviously folded. But yeah, it's going to be wild to watch. Nobody thinks that Kyrie is going to take the vaccine anytime soon. So I think we are going to be watching and covering this unprecedented situation where the guy's there half the time and we'll have to wait and see if it comes back to bite him.
Sam, you coming out here for All-Star? Are we going to see you next month?
I'm trying, brother. That is the plan, you know, hoping that Omicron, you know, chills a little bit between now and then. And our buddy Jeff Zogit from USA Today was giving me word just the other day that the hotel landscape is already pretty challenging. So I got to find a place to lay my head. But that is the plan to come out.
Well, Casa de Lloyd always has rooms available. we had a little get together during the finals a couple of years ago. We had everyone over. That was fun.
We did. It was a lot of fun. I always remember that because I'm a West Coast guy. that you guys with your whole no fences lifestyle is pretty foreign to us.
Does everybody have fences out there in the West?
Oh, you have no idea. Literally, the last couple months, the bane of my existence was coordinating. My backyard has no fewer than four neighbors connected to my back fence, so I had to coordinate with four different households to get a fence up. So yeah, fences are a pain in the backside for sure. Wow.
Well, before we cut you loose, I got to ask you: we're at the halfway point of the season. What's your finals pick?
Finals pick.
Cavs, right?
I'm gonna go. Yeah, exactly. Here come the Cavs. No, I mean, if we're going to play that game, no, they got to wait till LeBron's going to leave the Lakers, right, and then come back, and
then
he'll call it a career back home. I'm going to go stream of consciousness. I'm a little bit of like, listen, I covered the Bucks closely last year. I'm a sucker for what they built. I'm going to go with the incumbent. I know that's probably not the popular pick right now, especially because they just lost two games to Charlotte back to back, but. I'll go Milwaukee in the East because the Kyrie thing is a concern with the Nets. And then out West, man, I don't even know who to go with. I'll go with the Warriors. I mean, Klay's going to find his way. Draymond, I think, is Defensive Player of the Year. And even with Steph struggling, they keep winning games other than last night. So I'd probably go Bucks-Warriors at this point.
Sam Amick, thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys. Be good. Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.